Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and sometimes I like to flog my friends. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I've been really enjoying nerding out on how separate kink is from sexuality in my life lately, so I'm, like, super excited for this episode.
Cool.
Also, if you're watching the live stream, I'm tiny.
We're physically in the same space together. It's a little weird. I'm like, whoa, you're right fucking next to me. Okay.
I'm also in a much shorter chair, farther away from the camera. So I look like I'm like 3/4 size, Bex.
I'm in the foreground. Like, to scale. I'm massive. It's a lot. It's too much. Whatever, it's fine.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. We're together, so we're intoxicated.
Yep. Just all the fucking time. Okay. So today we're talking about platonic kink. I feel like every fucking episode now I say, this is a topic near and dear to our hearts, but it actually is.
It's because we don't podcast about stuff that fucking sucks.
Well, sometimes we do and we just yell about it. People liked our 50 Shades episode.
Or the porn one. The porn film festival.
Yeah. We've actually gotten, like, several emails about the 50 Shades one being like, you guys should do that again. And we're like, no.
No, we shouldn't.
Once was enough. Once was more than enough.
You might have liked listening to it. We hated doing it.
we were so tired and haggard by the end of it. Okay, so platonic kink. We started thinking about wanting to do an episode about this because someone asked a question about it on one of our listener question episodes recently, and we were like, oh yeah, that's the thing that not everybody does.
I get asked about this, like, more often than anything else. Like,
oh, interesting.
Of the stuff we talk about, yeah, anytime I even briefly mention platonic kink, people are like, let's go into that. What do you mean? Tell me more. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I guess, sure.
To us, it's so normal. Like, we've been doing it for years. But so what do we mean when we say platonic kink? Define your parameters.
Kink without sex. Like, I was looking for something more complicated, but, like, it's kink that I enjoy without sexual energy, sexual tension, sexual contact.
Mm-hmm. And also, I would add, probably without romantic feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so platonic kink is something we do a lot, not just with each other, but, like, with other folks. Why might someone want to partake in platonic kink? What are some reasons for that?
Because kink is fun.
Play with it?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing... Okay, so there's a ton of, like, really valid reasons to do it. It can be a low-pressure way to explore something new. Mm-hmm. You can do something... It can give you access to a kind of play that, like... Maybe you really like rope, and you have a friend who's a really good rope top, and you don't know anyone else with those skills, and they can practice with you, and you can experience that with them, and kind of enjoy it that way.
Yeah.
So it can... In the same way that sex is a way of relating with people for me, so can kink.
Yeah.
It's a thing that I connect with people over.
Yeah.
So it can be another way of building that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've realized lately, you know, culturally we look at kink as inherently sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing that it's 90% of the time not sexual for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I combine it with sex sometimes,
yeah.
But the kink itself is not inherently sexual to me.
You're enjoying, like, a feeling of exhilaration or accomplishment or something like that.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's the service and the exhibitionism that makes it sexual for me.
Mm.
So if I'm doing some sort of kink thing in service to someone I'm attracted to,
yeah,
then it becomes a turn-on because I'm doing it, I'm trying to impress this person I'm into, and it becomes this power exchange kind of thing. So it's that extra layer that becomes sexual, but there's still this big core piece of it that's just fun. Like, it's fun and fulfilling and satisfying in the same way sex is, but with a different feeling.
Yeah, I think of kink as something I need and consistently want that is, like, fulfilling and cathartic and exciting and exhilarating to me. And, like, there have been times in my life where I didn't have a romantic partner, didn't have, like, a steady fuck buddy or whatever, and I have turned to friends in those times. But then also there are times when, like, I do have a partner and I still enjoy platonic kink because it in some ways feels lower pressure because, like, I kind of trust my friends not to fuck shit up and not to, like, get upset and leave before we do aftercare and stuff like that. Like, I kind of, like, feel like they're often a steadier presence in my life. I've had kind of a I can't fucking pronounce that word, kind of a complicated dating life. so, like, romantic partners don't always stick around, but, like, friends usually do, so that's kind of a nice part of that.
I've also found, I mean, I found it in, like, sexual kink, too, but platonic kink can have very, very much, like, a carefree, fun, like, playful vibe in the way that partnered kink sometimes does, but sometimes it gets clouded by, like, these sexy feelings or whatever.
Right.
Or, like, that extra level of, like, nervousness around someone you're into.
Not wanting to look like an idiot around them, like, wanting to seem cool and sexy, and, like, you don't really have to worry about that with friends, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to, like, expand on a thing you said earlier, it's also great for skill building. Because a lot of kinks, like, especially, like, complicated ones, like rope bondage and stuff, like, it helps a lot to be able to practice on a person. And that's not to say that your friends are, like, guinea pigs who you can, like, fuck up on, but, like, maybe they'll be more patient than a romantic partner potentially, so.
And again, less of that, like, pressure to impress or pressure to be sexy while doing this other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first experience with platonic kink?
Not really, honestly.
Mm.
It didn't feel like... presumably getting hit by you at some point.
I think that was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Just,
like, it didn't feel to me... like, we were talking about this earlier. We get asked about this a lot, and we're always like, oh, like... because it didn't feel to me like a weird thing to be doing. It didn't feel like, oh, my friend is going to spank me now. How did I feel about that?
Right. I think part of what weirds people out about it is, like, they know, like, for example, if they know that I'm into spanking in a sexual context, then they'll be like, why would you do that with your friend who you're not sexually attracted to? Because, like, isn't it going to incite sexual feelings?
Mm.
And the answer for me is, like, not necessarily, because it's very contextual. Like, I don't get turned on every time I encounter an arousing stimuli. Like, you know, if I'm at work or if I'm, like, out with my mom or whatever, like, I don't necessarily get turned on if I scroll past a porny tweet. But I might if I was by myself or if I was with a romantic partner. So it's, like, contextual. You don't always get turned on just because a thing can turn you on.
And also we have a lot of context for experiencing sexy things in non-sexy scenarios. As, like, sex professionals.
Right, true. So we might be better at detaching those things.
Yeah, so for a person who spanking, they only ever encounter spanking in a sexy context, and it's the only time they get to do it, and they don't get to... like, we're out here talking about it and shit, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But for someone who it's that specialized, it can definitely be a lot harder to kind of divorce those two things.
Yeah. I think my first memory of this kind of thing, this isn't exactly kink, but when I was, like, 17 or 18, two friends and I were, like, drunk and hanging out in my friend's basement, and we ended up all jerking off side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, my first kind of, like, introduction to the idea that I could be, like, sort of sexual around other people and not have it be sexual, if that makes sense. Like, it was just sort of, like, fun and goofy and, like, a silly bonding thing.
Yeah, I think, now that I think about it, I think it was probably... remember that live stream we did way back when I lived out on Long Island and you visited me?
I think we were testing the Tantus Pelt Paddle, which I had just bought at the Sexual Health Expo, which we were attending together.
Yeah, with Penny there.
Right, and we were, like, not even very close yet. Like, we were not considering ourselves best friends yet. I was like, I'm staying with this person I know from the internet, and now I'm gonna spank them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all kind of spanked each other. Something we wanted to talk about is the differentiation between doing platonic kink that is more physical versus more emotional.
Yeah.
Which gets a little bit complicated. So, like, physical platonic kink stuff is mostly what we've been talking about so far. Like, stuff like spanking, rope bondage, flogging, whatever you're doing. But, like, how do you do emotional kink platonically?
She said as if she wasn't setting up a story. well, yeah, so that's... It had never occurred to me mm-hmm. as, like, a thing. I had, like, physical platonic kink is super easy. Like, you can see what it is. When you explain it, it makes sense, at least for the most part.
Yeah.
But I realize a lot of my big kink stuff is, like, service and caretaking for people that are important to me and for people I care about. Service is one of my biggest kinks, and it's also one of my biggest love languages, which is an interesting overlap. And I didn't realize until relatively recently that a lot of, like, the way we relate with each other and, like, the caretaking, like, you jokingly call me dad.
Yeah.
But, like, also.
Yeah.
I
have a formative memory of that, which is when we were in Minnesota and I was going on this, like, Tinder date that I wanted to go on, but also, like, didn't want to go on. And I was, like, pretty nervous about it, and we were in the parking lot of this pizza place, and you were like, you're gonna be good, you're gonna go in there, and, text me if he's safe, and if he's not, I'll come after him, and, like, just be a good girl. And I was like, thanks, Dad.
Yep. But, like, yeah, so I'll do a lot of, like, mildly toppy things with you in just, like, accountability toppy stuff and, yeah. like, helping when you're, like, your mental health stuff is going on and whatever. Right. And I didn't realize until, we're gonna talk about, like, poly stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize until, like, other people started doing that and I got salty about it. that I was like, oh, those are toppy feelings and also jealousy feelings. Interesting.
Yeah.
And it was, I wasn't able to recognize that until I, like, put it through this lens of platonic kink and recognized that this is a thing I've been doing for a while, in a lot of other forms.
Yeah.
And not really recognizing that, like, it is also, like, because I'll let a lot of people hit me, like, mm-hmm. I'll play with that, whatever, and it's like, oh, platonic kink is this fun, low-investment thing, all this stuff we were talking about.
Right, but, like, you just roll away and, like, be fine afterward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, it's platonic, like, we're not into each other, we're not, yeah. like, you know, we're not dating, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I love you.
Yeah. Like, I love you too.
Like, you are a very important relationship in my life, yeah. and, like, that's a big part of how we related. And, like,
yeah.
none of that occurred to me.
Yeah. It's complicated.
Yeah.
And people don't think about this stuff. And it's good to think about it in advance. It's, like, really silly, because we always used to joke, like, when I would be dating people, that, like, you were, like, their metamour.
It was always a big deal when you introduced me to them.
Yeah, it was like the next step. Like,
yeah.
it was akin to meeting my parents. I was like, this is very important. And sometimes they would get it and sometimes they would not. Like, I would be like, I don't think you understand. Like, Bex is not just my best friend. He's sort of like a mixture between, like, a best friend, a boyfriend, and a dad.
Yeah.
Like, kind of right in the middle there. And that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this after we had that conversation, and I was, like, trying to imagine if you were in a relationship where you were taking on, like, kind of a daddy-dom role with someone, whether I would, like, have jealousy feels about that person. And I think I might a little bit, but also, like, I feel very solid in, like, the specialness of our whatever yeah. this thing is.
Whatever this is.
Yeah. So I don't know. But, like, you know, sometimes you can't predict when those types of feelings will come up. So, like, it's good to, you know, keep an eye on them.
Yeah, and it definitely, like, did not occur to me as jealousy for a very long time, because it didn't manifest in the context that I would expect that to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, like, then I recognized moments where I was like, excuse you, I do that. And I was like, oh!
Yeah.
I am familiar with this concept.
Right. One of the questions we got from a listener, who was my partner.
From a listener who yeah. has no idea about any of this situation.
was about, like, how platonic kink interacts with polyamory, or, like, in general, like, with other partners. And I think that's really interesting because, like, a thing that has been very important to me in my polyamory is, like, finding ways to differentiate each relationship from each other so that they each feel really special and so that I don't feel like one of the pack among my metamours or whatever. So, like, I have specific names and stuff that I only do with my partner, but, like, I am, like, also very into, like, our weird emotional topping dynamic and, like, yeah. I, you know, that doesn't have to go away just because I have kind of a similar dimension going on in another one of my connections in my life, you know? It's just, like, I am not allowed to call you daddy.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah.
That's
weird. Yeah, as I said, I was like, nope. That's, it's so weird that dad is fine, and daddy's like, no. No. Not that. Nope.
Dad totally. Dad were like, yeah, obviously.
Dad feels so much less sexual to me. That's what it is. Yeah. That's all that it is.
Yeah.
But, like, in general, like, not just in our situation, like, how do you think this interacts with, like, having other partners or having partners in general? Because, like, do you, like, I'm sure that there are people who would be upset if their partner is, like, engaging in platonic spanking with someone else.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a friend. Like, how do you talk about that or navigate that?
Yeah, I think you would discuss it in the way you would discuss any other relationships you have in the mm-hmm. same way you would discuss other sexual relationships you have and other romantic relationships.
Yeah.
I think the difference is people look at those as three overlapping categories, but they look at them as synonyms and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're three different categories,
yeah.
But you can relate to them in all similar ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at least for me, the feeling of satisfaction that comes from them is similar. Like, they take different routes to get there, and it has a different tinge to it.
Yeah.
But it's all about this feeling of, like, satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I would talk about those relationships as distinct relationships and just weigh it in the same way as it can be, like, this is a friend that I hook up with sometimes, this is a friend that spanks me sometimes, whatever, or this is a really important person to me where I have this kind of dynamic with them.
Yeah.
And I think just communicating that. Use your words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it can be like any other activity where, like, maybe you have one partner who, like, your thing together is you, like, watch John Mulaney stand-up comedy specials or something, and maybe that partner is going to get a little bit upset if you go do that with, like, someone else.
Yeah.
Because it's your thing. But then also, like, maybe you have multiple people in your life who you do that with, and maybe that's fine. So it's just, like, a matter of negotiating, like, what is and is not special. Like,
yeah.
If my partner felt very attached to being the only one to spank me, that might be difficult for me, but, like, I would consider that, and I would think about, like, weigh whether or not I'm cool with that, you know? And I feel like it's important to do that in general in polyamory, like, even with platonic relationships, is, like, figure out what's allowed in, like, each connection, you know?
Yeah.
Are there kink acts or kinks that you prefer to play with platonically?
I don't know. Shit. Not especially. I mean, one of the things that I really am realizing lately is how much of my kink I enjoy platonically.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of it is separate from sex, and how much I'm really enjoying exploring all of my kinks through, like, this more platonic lens, and exploring the way kink can be satisfying separate from sex,
mm-hmm.
Is really giving me a better understanding of my kinks as a whole, and I'm really enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, and there's so much more to say about this. I mean, honestly, yeah. Like, we could do several episodes on platonic kink, because there's so much there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I historically have been more into impact topping when I'm doing it platonically, and I think it's because I am such a submissively oriented person that, like, pretty much as soon as I get turned on, I get subby. And so if I was able to, like, not get turned on, because this is not a sexual situation for me, then I was much better able to do impact topping. And I do enjoy impact topping, like, mentally. Like, mm-hmm. It calms me down. I find it really soothing and relaxing and enjoyable on, like, a skills level, in much the same way as, like, doing anything that you feel competent at. But I found it really difficult to sustain as soon as, like, I would get turned on, which is why I, like, didn't explore it very much with, like, romantic or sexual partners. Because I would start to get turned on, then I'd be like, this is wrong. Like, it feels incongruous. It's not what I want to be doing in that mindset. Although I've, like, started to switch with my current partner a little bit. And, like, he's very, like, supportive and makes me feel like there's not a lot of pressure on me to be, like, a perfect femdom. So that helps with that.
Yeah.
One of the questions we got is, how do you handle sexual feelings if they do arise? And I feel like how we have handled this the few times that it's happened is just sort of, like, laughing awkwardly and making jokes about it.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Like, oh, that's a feeling.
Well, that happened. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, because it does, like, I think we both just kind of recognize that there is some sort of Pavlovian association there.
Yeah.
And that, like, with spanking stuff, there's a physical reason that you get, you know,
right.
You hit someone because you bring which brings blood to the area. If you're hitting their ass, you're bringing blood to their ass and their junk.
Mm-hmm.
Getting turned on happens.
Yeah.
And I think we both just kind of recognize that it's like, oh, that's a thing our bodies are doing for a minute there. All right. Rather than, I think, it would be really easy to notice that and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Everything must change.
Right, because it would be easy to think, like, that it's because of the person who's doing it to you or with you. And, like, we know enough about ourselves and our friendship to know that that's not the case. But, yeah, I've had situations where I've done, like, platonic kink, and then the other person has, like, made a booty call to, like, go fuck another person because they were turned on but didn't want to, like, explore that further with me. Or, like, sometimes I'll go home and, like, sex with a partner or something after stuff like that. And it's kind of, you just, like, channel those sexual feelings into a place where they fit better in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does the process of kink change if it's platonic? Like, I'm thinking about stuff like negotiation and aftercare, because it is a little bit different. Like, there's different, like, dynamics at play.
Yeah, I mean, I find all of it just tends to be less flirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like... negotiation, if I'm negotiating with someone that I'm fucking, I'm, like, here, and we're, like, talking, and, like, it's, like, hey. And, like, when we're talking, we're, like, so what did you bring today? What are we gonna...
yeah.
Like, I'm sitting in pajama pants in the corner, just like, so, what are we doing, you know?
It's very matter-of-fact, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very, like, is it okay if I touch you here? How does that feel? Like, I stay very, like, neutral in terms of my voice and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, like, if I'm with a romantic partner, I'll get, you know, giggly and flirty and silly.
Yeah.
I stay very on task doing platonic.
Yeah. And, like, that makes it sound like it's, like, robotic and nerve-wracking, and it's not. It's just, like, this is what we're here to do.
Right. Yeah.
Like.
And then aftercare can be kind of weird.
And it, well, before, it can be goofy.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I've done platonic kink scenes that are silly and still, like, focused and not flirty.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Aftercare can be weird because, like, my aftercare of choice is usually, like, naked cuddling and stuff like that that I don't really want to do with my friends. So, like, a lot of times aftercare for me with platonic kink has just been, like, talking about what we did.
Yeah.
It might not be immediately. It might be the next day via text or whatever. Talking about, like, you know, what could I do differently next time, or, like, what did you like about that? Sometimes I've had friends, like, send me pictures of their bruises, which as a top I really enjoy because it's sort of, like, confirmation that they really did like it, they were consenting to it, and it's also, like, I get this satisfying, like, image of a thing that I actually made happen, so I really like that.
Yeah. I'll generally want, like, a hug afterwards, but I'm pretty low maintenance on aftercare either way.
Yeah.
It's usually, like, a hug, tell me what a good job I did, and then let me introvert.
Yeah, a great thing, too, about platonic kink, if you have, like, a more romantic partner, is you can go do your aftercare with that person instead, if you want to. Like, you might feel more comfortable being that level of vulnerable or whatever with that person, so, like, I've definitely done that, where I had platonic kink scenes, and then I went home and texted my partner or talked to him on the phone, and he did the aftercare for me, which is, like, a lovely thing about poly, that you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, one of my favorite platonic kink memories with us... this is fucking wild. This was just a summer of weirdness.
It was a hell of a... Yeah, it was a hell of a night.
We went to a party at our friend's house, and there was a dude there who I was in love with at the time. Yep. Let's just come right out and say
let's go for it.
Yeah, and he was not in love with me, and so I was quite sad that night.
but do you want to share that this was like the relationship you did have with that person?
Oh, I mean, yeah. We were fucking, yeah. There was just no romantic love coming back at me, so.
She says while taking a drink
of her booze. Just a big old swig of that. So I remember, you and I stepped outside because I was getting too emotional to be at this party, which, like, usually I can kind of, like, force it down, but I was getting, like, actually really upset being at this party. And I stepped out and I was talking to you, and I think, my memory is I was just basically like, he's never gonna love me, and life sucks, and everything's terrible, and why doesn't he love me? And I kind of collected myself, and you were like, okay, you ready to go back in?
We got this.
And we went back in, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. And then I burst into tears as soon as I got back in there. And dude was there. I don't think he knew what I was crying about. Because I think I just said, I am depressed today, which was also true. Like, that was why it was so difficult for me to control those feelings. But so,
do you remember what he said?
I mean, I remember that he said, we love
you. Yeah. He started crying, and he just kept saying, it's okay, we all love you.
I don't think we all do, actually, but okay.
And I was like, dude.
Choose your words.
Jesus Christ.
We love roasting this man. I gotta tell the fucking story. Jesus. So, our friend who is hosting the party, she is a quite heavy-handed impact top and self-identifies as a sadist. And actually, I've had subsequent conversations with her where she's told me she prefers to keep her kink platonic. Like, she doesn't like to mix them with her romantic relationships. I don't really know what her rationale is in that way, but, you know, people like that exist, and that's really interesting to me. But so she was like, would it make you feel better if I spanked you? And I was very much in a phase of my life where I was becoming more and more aware of how sadomasochism could help with my mental health. And so I said yes. So I bent over the sofa, and she spanked me a lot. I got very bruised that night.
We had just gotten the paddle.
It was, right, the Lexan paddle?
It was the brand, Lexan paddle, and she was like, do you want to try your new paddle?
That was its maiden voyage. Yikes. Yep. Yeah, got very bruisey, cried a lot. People were all comforting me all around me. All my friends were there being like, it's gonna be okay. We love you.
Yeah, he was holding... I'm pretty sure I took his hand and put it in yours. Mm.
Which I don't know if that made it better or worse. Like, it's kind of both at the same time.
Yep. Well, because he didn't know what to do. He was, like, half reaching and half, like... And I was like, dude!
This is a vanilla boy, should clarify. That's an important point. And then, like, later that night, I topped you.
Yeah.
Had you bent over the couch and was spanking you. And then our friend's roommate just came home and walked in on the scene. And was just totally fucking chill about it.
Like, you're standing there, tear-stained cheeks, hitting me with this giant fucking paddle. I don't think she's ever met me before. I was just like, hey. Oh, no, that might have been the second time I met.
Still kind of weird, but yeah, whatever. This is our lives.
It's fine.
That's fine.
And then we had to rush straight to the bus. And I was also having sad feelings about my own shit that day.
Oh, yeah.
And then I almost missed my mega bus home as the bruises bloomed on a 12-hour ride home.
The worst. Don't do that, folks.
I've done it multiple times.
It's not a good idea.
I do that a lot.
I mean, maybe it's good if you're a masochist, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not be a fan. On a more serious note, though, like, one of my most treasured memories of our, like, emotional platonic kink relationship is, like, last year when my daddy dom at the time broke up with me, like, really unexpectedly, and I was fucking heartbroken and, like, could not function. Like, I was crying so hard I couldn't figure out even, like, what to eat or, like, what I had to do. And I went home and you told me to just, like, get on Skype with you. And we didn't even talk, really? Like, we didn't do anything. I pretty much just, like, sat on Skype and, like, laid in the dark and cried. And I think you were, like, playing a video game or reading or something. And it was just, like, you were just, like, a person there to keep me from, like, falling into my own despair, basically. I don't know if this is really, like, doming or topping, but it felt like a weird kind of, like, stopgap in the transition between, like, having a daddy dom and, like, not having one anymore. Like, it was kind of, like, this cushiony space in the middle where I could kind of, like, get used to this new reality a little bit. So, that made it easier.
Yeah.
I cried so much that night.
Yeah, you did.
The worst.
Yep.
Mm. One other one. Sorry, these are all my stories, but...
That's fine. I told all my stories earlier.
Okay. I did think of one other one, and I love this one. Okay. When I went on my first date with my current partner, we were not expecting sex things to happen. It was like a coffee date in the middle of the day in Manhattan. And then we ended up going to a breather, which is a thing where you can, like, rent an office space by the hour. You're not supposed to do sex things in them, but, like, whatever. I won't tell if you don't tell. And we did some, like, spanking stuff and some other kink shit, and I was, like, very much in subspace when I left that date, and I kind of didn't really realize that until he had already, like, left and said goodbye and stuff. And I was just hanging out with you at your work and just, like, telling you about this date and stuff. And you took me to Starbucks to get food because I needed food, and then you just, like, helped me make sure I got to where I was going next, and you were just, like, aftercare dad.
Yeah, I was fully in the middle of my shift, and I was like, I'm leaving, guys, goodbye, because I was the boss and I could.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'll be back.
Yeah, I feel like you're maybe the only one of my friends who knows what I look and sound like when I'm in subspace. Like, you identified it the other day. You said to me, like, you're either drunk, tipsy, or subby right now. I can't tell. And I was thinking, like, I probably don't have any other friends who, like, could notice that on site, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I have an interesting relationship with rope.
Mm-hmm.
In that, like, I was always interested in rope, but the more I got into kink, I was like, oh no, I was just interested in kink, and rope is the poster child for kink.
Right.
And then, like, recently, the past few times I've done rope stuff, I'm like, oh no, I do really enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have a lot of, like, experience or people that I play with who do a lot of rope stuff.
Yeah.
But I've wanted to try suspension ever since I did a zip line in Vegas where you go prone instead of sitting down, and mm-hmm. they put you in this chest harness.
Mm-hmm.
So all of your weight is on your chest laying flat as you, like, fly down the Vegas Strip. It's really cool.
And very kinky.
And very kinky. Like, immediately, so they strap you into this harness while you're laying flat on your stomach, and then the ground lowers away from you, like you're on this pedestal, and it drops.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just instant subspace. Like, all of the weight was on my chest, and I was floaty immediately. And ever since then, that was, like, 3 years ago, and ever since then, I've been like, I need to try suspension. That's probably a thing I'd enjoy.
Yeah.
And then this past June, when I was at summer camp, a friend of mine offered to suspend me for the first time. And it was really cool because they were able to walk me slowly through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to just, the way they did it, they had me leaning forward so that I could, like, lift one foot up and then eventually lift the other foot and kind of float. And they gradually tied more and more of my limbs to have me more restrained but also more up in the air. And I was able to just, like, really have a conversation with them while doing it, and there was, like, no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really nice. And I was able, like, I was literally hanging there, like, give me 5 more minutes, okay? Just 5 more. Let me float more. Which is, if it was with someone that I was having sexy feelings about, I would want to, like, progress and be more engaged with them and whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting point, is, like, when I'm enjoying a kink thing that is not explicitly sexual, I often do want to stay in that experience longer than a lot of people want to. Because with a sexual partner, like, it's often, like, what's the next step? Like, what's the next thing we're going to escalate to? And usually it's sex. And, like, with a platonic kink partner, that pressure is, like, completely taken away if you've, like, pre-negotiated it. Because you're like, I don't even need to worry that, like, I'm not doing the thing you want me to do, because this is the thing we've agreed to do. And, like, you can do that with a sexual partner, but it's harder to, in my experience, because they might feel rejected because you're telling them no to a thing that, like, you've previously done with them. Yeah. Whereas a friend is just gonna, like,
and it's,
get
like,
that.
More complicated feelings. And you're saying no to a thing that you both, like, at least previously wanted or, like, continue to want at some point, just not now. So there's still that, like, little bit of tension there.
Right.
Unless it's, like, a super established partner that you're really, really comfortable with.
Yeah.
So we kind of just tripped and fell into this dynamic because we're weird sex people who do weird sex things with everyone.
Just kinky people with a weirdly close friendship. So it's just, you know,
we're just
naturally.
Like, yeah, of course we do this. Whoops. But we got a new paddle and no one else is here. But how do you approach this? If this isn't a normal thing that happens in your life all the time, like, how do you initiate a relationship like this?
Okay, so I think there's kind of two ways to come at it, and one of them is, like, you're already dating them / fucking them, and you don't want to be, and you want to come back to the fucking, and that's actually weirdly the one I have more experience with, because I have two people in my sexual history who, like, we went on some dates, we were fucking, and then we kind of realized that, like, we just didn't really have chemistry in that way, and it was really nice because we mutually realized that in both cases. Like, it sucks when one person feels that way and the other person doesn't. But, like, we, in both cases, we came to the conversation both being like, oh, I feel really awkward about this, but, like, I feel this way. And we were both like, oh my god, I feel that way too. So, in one case, the person was really good at spanking me, and in the other case, the person was really good at tying me up. And I love both of those things, and I don't need romantic or sexual feelings to be involved in either of those things, so I was really happy to be able to be like, hey, like, I don't really feel like we have sexual or romantic chemistry, but I really value you as a person. Like, I think, like, you know, you're a great friend to me, and I really like this one thing that we do together. It's really enjoyable to me. And I think what was important there is I really emphasized the positive of all of that. Because otherwise it can really feel like a rejection, and that's not what you want.
Yeah.
But the other way is, like, coming at it with someone who is just a friend and has always been just a friend, and you want to try something more. And my experience with that is usually, like, a person, like, mentions wanting to try something, and I'm like, well, I can do that, or, like, we could just try that. Like, recently a friend of mine mentioned she'd never been flogged before, and this is a friend who I've done platonic kink with before, but I was like, I love flogging people. I have floggers. My place is near here. Like, we could just go do that right now. I've had people, like, mostly be pretty amenable to that because, like, if there's something they want to try, like, they understand intuitively a friend is, like, potentially a safe person to try that with. So, like, as long as they're pretty open-minded, like, I would say, like, bring it up peripherally, like, talk about the kink thing in kind of an abstract way to kind of get a read on, like, how they feel about it and then maybe progress from there.
Yeah, and I would say make it explicit that, like, you're not picking them up right now.
Right, just as friends, that, like, yeah. Say that, yeah.
Yeah, be like, you know, you want to try this, like, no pressure, I just, you know, an opportunity to just try it. Like, it doesn't have to mean anything other than that.
Yeah. I had a platonic kink experience one time with a friend who I've been friends with for a very long time, and she texted me the next day and was like, hey, can I call you? And I got really worried because I thought she was going to tell me that she was having some kind of, like, romantic feelings or something. And she called me, and she was actually just, like, feeling really guilty and kind of, like, kink drop-y about, like, having done dommy sadistic shit to me. And she just wanted to, like, make super sure that I actually liked it and actually enjoyed it and, like, had a good time and consented to it and stuff. So we talked through that. But we wouldn't have had to go through that if I had, like, very clearly specified before we did that thing that I only wanted to do this as friends, and that was all I was open to.
Yeah.
One last question. Looking to the future, is there any platonic kink thing that you haven't done that you'd be interested in doing? Not with me, I'm not like, what should we do together? But just, like, in general in your life.
That's just, like, are there any kink things that you ever want to do?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing for me. Like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Yeah.
I am actually considering, I don't know if it's going to be inherently platonic. I think sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. But there is a Facebook group, a queer cruising group in New York, presumably all over the place, but the one I'm in is in New York, obviously. And I've considered posting a thing there and just monthly doing service for someone in the community in mm-hmm. some way, whether it's working an event or going and cleaning for someone or running some errands or baking something and dropping it off, like whatever.
Yeah.
But once, you know, once or twice a month doing an act of service for someone in the community,
mm-hmm.
Just like to keep in touch with my service feelings. Because I have like just gone to people's houses and cleaned. And they're like, we will be as nice or mean to you as you would like. gorgeous lesbian, so it's great. I made them vegan food and clean their house.
Nice.
That was good. But, yeah, just doing something like that to stay in touch with my service feelings and also to serve my community.
Mm-hmm. Aw, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a thing I've wanted to do for a long time that I guess would fall into the category of platonic kink is, like, if you listen to this show, you may be aware that I like to engage in age play. So in kinky scenarios, I'm often sort of role-playing as a little girl, and, like, role-playing actually kind of feels like the wrong word, because it's not like I'm playing a character, like, that is kind of who I become with certain people. And I've always thought it would be fun to just, like, hang out with other littles in little space and just do little things. I don't really know what that would be, like watching cartoons, showing off cute outfits, I don't know, things littles do. I think that would be really fun, because I really like being in little space, and I've noticed, like, since I've been in that space so much with my partner over the past year, like, more than I ever had been before, I've noticed that, like, it is often sexual for me, but, like, it doesn't have to be. Like, I can just be hanging out in little space, just, like, you know, watching a movie or whatever. And so that's really fun to play with.
Yeah, little space isn't sexual for me, but I do have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, middle space is sexual for me.
Okay.
Like, I get littler if I'm playing platonically than I would if I'm playing, like, sexually.
Hmm.
Like, I do more, like, teenage age play stuff.
Yeah.
For, like, sexy things, but I can, if I'm just, like, age playing for, like, relaxation stuff, because I'll do that, like, alone and whatever.
Yeah.
Then I go a lot younger. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, well, a little bit younger.
Yeah, it is so relaxing, and that's something I love about so many kinks, is that they can be relaxing and help with stress, and, like, there doesn't need to be a sexual or romantic element for that to be true.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like playing sports together, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that metaphor makes any sense.
Well, no, so it... I compare kink to sports a lot, honestly, mm-hmm. and it, like, for me, it feels similar. Like, I enjoy kink in the way I understand athletes enjoy, like, marathon running.
Mm.
Where it's a thing of endurance and achievement and really satisfying and adrenaline and pushing my body to its limits and, like, all of these common themes. And it feels good to me in that way.
Yeah.
Which is not inherently a sexual feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might feel good after that and want to fuck too, like...
Yeah.
But...
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so it is sports.
Yeah, I hope we're destigmatizing some shit and teaching some people some things, because I honestly feel like a lot of people would be less stressed and more fulfilled if they realized this was an option, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish someone had told me about this years ago. So there you go. You're welcome. Thanks thanks for listening to this episode of the Dildorks. This was a Dildorks live stream broadcast thing. So, if you want to get in on those, you can sign up at our Patreon, which is at patreon.com/thedildorks at the $5 an episode level or higher, and we do one of these once a month, and you get to watch us being silly, and the bloopers are uncensored, so sometimes we say shit that we're not supposed to say. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together we're the Dildorks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks. Have we ever posted anything on Instagram?
Many moons ago.
Okay.
Well, it's a podcast. What are we going to put on Instagram?
I don't know. Isn't that where the kids are these days?
I don't know.
If you want to support us, no, we did that. Do it again. Send us more money. you can find us by going to thedildorks.com or searching The Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It brings us up in the charts and makes us easier for other sex nerds to find.
We got a review, I don't know if we got it this week, but we got it at some point recently that made me cry this week, because someone was talking about how our podcast, like, actually made their life better and made them feel more capable of, like, seeking out fulfilling sexual experiences, and I was just like, oh god, why did you write this? But, yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's really vulnerable and lovely and stuff like that makes us want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you to Protodome for the use of our theme song. It's called I Want You in My Bedroom, and it's at protodome.bandcamp.com. All his music is really, really good. Would be a good backdrop for Platonic Kink, actually, because it's all quite goofy.
Yeah.
And thank you also to Amy, who did our logo for us. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
Good morning. This is the most thing
that
yeah.
I want you in the morning. Let's stay with me.
That's amazing. You did it in a minute. I'm so proud of you. Good job, Bean.
Okay. You gave me a time limit.
I definitely just said that in my, like, good dog voice. I'm so okay proud of you. You're so cute.
This is not our dynamic.
It's what the whole fucking episode is about, though, so it's fine.
I know, but it's not our platonic kink dynamic. Mm.
You're right. Shouldn't have gauched that one. Okay. The levels are going to really pop off when I start doing podcast voice. I can't even fake it convincingly.
Yeah,
I have to be doing it. Okay, I guess we're podcasting.
All right. We kind of slipped into podcast voice.
I know. It's weird. It was where the bloops began. It was the demarcation. I don't know when or why it happened, but...
I believe it was when you said we partook in intoxicants.
What, you don't think I talk like that in my regular life? I do sometimes.
No, you do, but I think our giggle after that transitioned into podcast land.
We were like, this is a bloop. Gotta land this one.
Exactly.
Jesus, we've been doing this too long. Bless you.
Jesus. Do we still have that video somewhere?
I think that was on Periscope. I think that disappeared. Also,
didn't we, like, backup save it somewhere?
I think it might be gone. Unless I downloaded it, which I might have.
We
were so drunk.
I know, that's the one where you're like, I'm worried about you, babe. And I'm like, don't worry about me. I'm hilarious. Which is still my favorite.
I just wrote one question that's just like, tell stories of scenes.
That's so,
like,
not a question.
I know, but I feel like we have stories that we may not have shared. I have my back alley story. I don't know if that strictly counts as platonic because she put her fingers in me.
Yeah, that's not. Probably not.
Yeah, maybe not.